Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We begin in verse 22. Jesus says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" That's kind of those verses and the way it's all phrased is kind of difficult to understand. It certainly is for me without doing a little more deeper looking into things. And really you have to put it's always healthy to put whatever text you're reading into context. And when you put this into context and look at the verses prior and the verses following, then you begin to understand what's being said there. The previous verses, which we studied last week, were talking about materialism. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break it through and steal." And then he turned around and said, "But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven." We talked about all that, and I won't rehearse all of that. Just simply saying, don't worry about putting all your treasures together here on earth at the expense of treasures that would last forever in heaven. So we've already covered that. There's a balance. There's a balance in the two. We have to have a certain amount of concern for material things in order to function in this world. I mean, we got to pay the bills, we got to put food on the table, we have to pay the car off to have a ride to work and the whole nine yards. So there's got to be a certain amount of handling of material possessions. It's really just the Lord's teaching us how to balance, to not let those things control us. We should be trying to focus on heavenly things while we handle the earthly things, and that's what we should be striving for. So if we look at that previous text, or we look at the current text in light of the previous text, we'll see what Jesus is saying. He's continuing to talk about priorities, and he's emphasizing the importance of what we lay our eyes on or set our sights on, so to speak. Again, verse 22, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." The word "single" there simply means sound or good. If our eyes or our vision or our outlook, if you will, of things is sound or good, then we're going to have having that healthy vision is going to help us have a healthy spiritual life. And the way to having a healthy inside is to regulate what we allow to come in from the outside. And of course, he likens the eyes basically to the doorway to the soul. If we're continually feasting our eyes or our desires or our wants on the things that the world has to offer, the shiny things, if you will, if that's what we're focusing on all the time, then our hearts are going to be worldly. If we're feasting upon worldly things, then our hearts are going to be worldly themselves. But if we focus on heavenly treasures, we make the things of God our desire, we make the things of God the goals for our life, then our eye, with our vision being healthy, is going to result with a healthy and a good life, a healthy and a good spirit and inner life, okay? Verse 23 says, "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now the word "evil" there just simply means bad or degenerate. So he's kind of putting a negative slant on it. Now, if our vision for life or our outlook for life is bad or unhealthy, if we're fixing our gaze on the here and now, just what this world has to offer, the temporal things, then we can't expect anything short of darkness on the inside. And that's when we say darkness here, we kind of think, well, that's kind of extreme to say, well, you know, if I've got worldly eyes, I've got darkness on the inside. But really, it's not saying that we're going to become axe murderers or that we're hardened criminals or anything like that. It's just because we long for worldly things. But it is saying What light represents in the Scripture is righteousness, and what darkness represents in the Scripture is unrighteousness. And so in a sense, or in essence, it's just the principle simply saying, what we focus on in life is what we're going to become on the inside. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, as we looked at last week, okay? So if our life is feasting upon the world, and that's all we're concerned about is earthly treasures and this sort of thing, then our inside, our who we are, is going to line up more with the world. But if our eyes are feasting upon eternal things, heavenly things, things that last forever, then we're going to be lining up more with righteousness, things that are light on the inside, okay? And so with that, let's move on to verse 24. He goes on to say, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, he uses the term there, masters, and it's important that we understand what that means. It's not talking about somebody you work for. It's talking about someone who owns you. In those days, of course, there was still slavery. The word master there is a reference to a slave owner, one who has supreme authority over another. So a slave cannot have two owners. One, if he had two owners, one owner would always be trying to lay claim to him and have him do this, and the other owner would be saying, no, he's mine, and have him do this. It would never work. You can't have two owners if you're a slave. He'd be pulled in two directions, and it'd be no good for either owner. It just don't work that way. It's talking about, in fact, through the Scripture, you find that Jesus refers to us, the Scripture refers to Jesus as Lord and as Master multiple times, and that's what He is. He is our owner. He's the authority. We belong to Him. And Paul refers to himself and other Christians along the way as bond slaves, which is, in essence, a slave owned by someone else. And so if we are His bond slave, He's our master, we owe full allegiance to Him. We can't have Him as a master and then try to serve our worldly desires and let it master us. We can only serve one master, okay? If we get caught up in money, worldly treasures, and these sort of things, then we're not going to be able to give the allegiance to our master that He deserves. It simply says that in verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. If our loyalty our loyalty gets wrapped up in living life and what's happening here on earth, then it won't be able to be directed to the Lord that we serve. Okay, so just like a slave can't have two owners and satisfy them both, we cannot have two masters and satisfy them either. The demands of the Lord are always going to come in second, if you will. If we try to serve God and mammon, the Lord's demands upon our life will always end up coming in second to what we want for ourselves, always. And so we have to make a choice. We have to say, what was on that prayer list? I saw something in there I'd liked. If you got your prayer list, look at that resolution, the New Year resolution, and when you open it up, it says resolution one, I will live for God. Resolution two, if no one else does, I still will live for God. Isn't that great? That's what it's talking about, making a choice. I'm going to serve the Lord. Whatever happens, I'm going to serve the Lord. And that He's going to call the shots. He's going to have the authority. That's what I'm going to do, is serve the Lord. And so as it says here, you can't serve God and mammon. That word mammon, you've heard it many times, I'm sure, simply means wealth or riches. And again, the idea is of just worldly pursuits, the things that this world has to offer. Loyalty to the world and loyalty to Christ cannot coexist. You can't have them both. It's impossible. Just look at the things that are required of us by each one. The Lord commands us to walk by faith. But if we're going to try to serve mammon or the world, it tells us we've got to walk by sight. One calls for us to have humility. The Lord always calls for humility. And God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. But the other, the world, expects pride. One requires us to set our eyes on heaven, and the other requires us to set our eyes on life here below, life on earth. One draws our eyes towards the unseen, and the other draws our eyes towards everything that we can see. One draws our focus on the eternal, and the other has our focus on the temporal. And so it's just totally, those demands can't be reconciled. It's either one set of demands or the other, God or mammon, God or this world. We have to choose one over the other. We can't serve both. And so the obvious right choice, of course, is to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. In doing so, though he's our master, we know he's our master and we belong to him, still that's when we really begin to experience freedom. When you serve Christ wholeheartedly and you give yourself over to him. In fact, the Bible says, and you know these verses, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's when we sell out to Christ and say, "You're calling the shots, you're running this deal, I will yield to you," then we really find freedom. Because what that does is it takes us out from under the bondage of various things of this world. Look at alcoholism. When you're an alcoholic, you're in bondage. Alcohol tells you what to do. It tells you what you're going to do every night when you get home. Pornography has people in bondage. It tells you how you're going to spend your time alone. The pornography's running the show. You're enslaved to it. And it goes on and on and on, the various examples of bondage from sin. But Christ says, "Hey, let me be the master. Let me call the shots, and you'll get out from under all this other bondage, and you'll find freedom like you've never had before in your life." It's really, really an encouraging thing to know that we can serve a master that does not lash us on, does not require more and more of us to keep him pleased. He just wants us to just give our lives to him, and that's pleasing enough, just to follow him and let him call the shots, and he's pleased to have that opportunity. But the world and the various things that we get in bondage to is never satisfied. The results are never good enough. It always asks for more and more and more. Why do you think so many people with millions and millions of dollars continue to strive for more and more money? The bottom line is they have everything they want. They don't really need anything else. But it's never enough. What the world serves us is never enough. It's always got to be more, more, more. And worldly pursuits just really never are satisfied. And so let's talk about, for the last few minutes here, finding a balance. We're supposed to serve the Lord and pursue eternal things, but we still live in a temporal world. And so there has to be some balance here. How does that work? We still have to manage a certain amount of money. We have to manage certain possessions. Live in this world. We're of this world. I mean, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. So we've got to find a balance. And so let's begin to read, and I'll just read these verses, and then I'll have a few comments, and then we'll take it up next week, okay? Beginning in verse 25, he says, "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body and what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of those." Now, this particular text goes all the way out to verse 34, but we're not going to even near cover what I just read there. Basically, the prior verses have dealt with the problem that rich people face, or people that are well off. They tend to focus on, the temptation is to focus on riches or money or the goods that we have. But this particular set of verses begins to really focus more on the problems that poor people face, or people that are less fortunate. Both rich and poor have their spiritual problems. One is tempted to trust in their wealth, and the other is prone to doubt and think God can't do it. The rich can easily begin to develop a false security in their riches. On the other hand, poor people, or people that are without, have a difficult time finding any security. You see, there's a struggle both ways, but there's victory to be won in both of them, okay? And that's what I want us to learn together, is about finding that balance. While we're earthly creatures, right now we're earthly creatures, which means we're going to have a certain amount of dealings with tangible things, money and such. On the other hand, we're born again, recreated into heavenly beings. Our citizenship is in heaven. We have a heavenly Father. We're taught by His Word, which is eternal. And so how do we balance the two? And that's a big question. I'm going to need another week to give you the answer, okay? Give me one more week to work on that answer, okay? But this world is not our home, folks, but it is a place where we do have to function until God takes us home, okay? And so we need to learn to hold this balance, and we'll talk about that the next time we come together, okay? Appreciate you guys very much. Hope that you will make sure you have perfect attendance for 2021 starting this Sunday, okay? It'll be good. I hope you'll invite someone. We'll meet back here. Hope you have a wonderful New Year's. We'll meet back here in 2021. Okay, let's go ahead and stand. Appreciate you guys very much. Eric, will you lead us in a word of prayer, please?